What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you are tuned in to Kinda Neat. Hooray! It's the first episode of 2017. I'm sorry for the long hiatus. I feel like I apologize every single time because we are a hiatus-ass podcast. And that's fine. If it is your first time listening, I am going to do some advertising for myself, and then I'm going to rant about some things. So if you don't want to hear that, you can fast forward until you hear a beat, or if you're listening on YouTube, I will put a timestamp where you can fast forward to hear my interview with this week's guest, Deontay Hitchcock. But if you are a weekly listener and you tune in to hear me rant and bitch about things, then this is what you've been waiting for. First things first, go to patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. /kindaneat, where you can keep our lights on here by pledging $1 per episode. Like I said, that is only if you are someone who has been a dedicated listener or follower for quite some time. That's when I'll ask you to, like, yo, just pitch in a couple bucks. If you are tuning in for the first time, then don't worry about that. You don't have to do it. But I hope you stick around, and I hope you become a lifelong listener. So, guys, 2017. This is a Saturday that I'm recording this on, and unfortunately, I had to miss the Women's March. My lady went to it, and a lot of my friends went. I didn't get to go because we only had a small window of time to get this young, talented man, Deontay, in here, and I'm glad that I did that. I really, watching him rap was like really something. He has a very bright future, and I'm excited to be, I'm pretty sure, like one of his first long form interviews, if not the, but we're pretty early on this one. The reason I bring up the Women's March is because yesterday was the inauguration, and I just kind of want to like make some things clear for 2017 for listeners who may not recognize this or know this about me, but like, I would think if you've ever listened to my music or listened to the podcast, you would kind of get an idea of my worldview. You would get an idea of my disdain for racism and my disdain for just the way the system is set up for some people to prevail and others to fail. You would be able to get a pretty clear sense of my political beliefs. Now, for the last 8 years or so, things have been like, for all intents and purposes, pretty chill for me. Like, I don't think that I've had to like speak up a lot about it because I was pretty happy with the leadership of how things were going. I spoke out about at times about like GOP leadership with like Mitch McConnell trying to like stop any legislation from going through if it came from Obama, et cetera, et cetera. But for all intents and purposes, you know, I was pretty happy about stuff. But I'm not super happy with where I see politics in America going right now. I'm not a fan of the current president. I'm not happy with the fact that he got inaugurated. And I've been hearing some like backlash from people that listen to the show online on various forms of social media. People will reach out and be like, man, you sounded like such a bitch on that last episode. Or man, you're such a cuck. Or like, oh, he's the president now. Deal with it. Like, nah. You, like, fuck this president, straight up, like fuck Donald Trump. Like, the whole reason that this country is great is because I can say that, and I don't have to deal with it. And so the thing is, if you don't want to hear me talk about these sorts of things, whether it be on Twitter, whether it be on Instagram, whether it be on this show, whether it be on Facebook, then unfollow me. It's really funny to me how, like, the modern conservative movement has so many catchphrases, like, you know, the Antifa, like, or anti-fascist, whatever, Antifa, however the fuck they say it, or, you know, MSM, mainstream media, but particularly Cuck and Snowflake are really impressive to me because, first and foremost, for conservatives who are supposed to be, like, you know, socially conservative, like, the fact that you guys know what cuck is and like, watch that kind of porn to, like, learn that phrase and use it to emasculate people is, like, hilarious. But also, the snowflake thing, it's, like, accusing someone of being a snowflake when, like, you follow them on Twitter or you follow them on Instagram and they don't know who the fuck you are, to call them a special snowflake, like, you've already validated the fact by giving that attention to that person when that person pays no attention to you. So it's just nonsensical to me. Like, there's this real lack of logic. So I just wanted to kind of like redefine some things for 2017 to just let people know where I stand. Like, if anything about any of my political rants on the show are going to make you want to tweet to me about how you're surprised that I'm a special snowflake or whatever, like, don't bother doing that. Just stop listening. Unfollow me. Stop listening to the show. Unsubscribe from the YouTube channel. Like, I don't give a fuck. I don't want any listeners out there who support a racist regime or a fascist regime listening to the show. I want to redefine the fact that I clearly do this out of love, and because I'm certainly not doing it for money. And so I just want to like reiterate the fact that like my whole MO, my entire life has been morals over money. And my morals are always going to be stronger than the fact that like what I'm saying is going to make somebody want to unfollow or not listen. I will tell you from the bottom of my heart, I don't give a fuck. If you unfollow, unfollow. If you want to argue with me that like, like if you want to be a white person trying to define what racism is to me on Twitter, just unfollow me. Like, don't bother, because you are already showing yourself as a racist, and I don't need to like teach you. You need to go teach yourself. I'm just sick of the shit, man. I'm sick of the bullshit. I'm sick of fucking people telling me that the alt-right isn't neo-Nazis. I'm sick of people taking someone's word as fact. Like, look, just because Richard Spencer says like, no, I'm not a neo-Nazi, or like, you know, no, I just said hail Trump, not because it sounds like hail Hitler. Like, fuck out of here, dude. If it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it is a duck. Even if it says, I'm not a duck, that's bullshit. So 2017 is the year of like calling out you punk motherfuckers. And, you know, the video of him getting punched the other day is like the best thing I've ever seen. Not ever, but it's the best thing I saw yesterday. And I hope that 2017 is the year of like neo-Nazis and fascists catching hands, because everybody talking about like, oh, protests shouldn't be this and protests shouldn't be that. There's a way to peacefully do it. Like, oh, Martin Luther King wouldn't have done it that way. You know, fucking watching Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo try to fucking white-splain Martin Luther King to John Lewis. Like, get the fuck out of here, man. That dude sat at the table with Martin Luther King. Like, if you are a white person and you ever catch yourself trying to tell a fucking person of color how they should be protesting or what they should be doing to gain equality, you're already part of the problem. So 2017 is the year of like looking at yourself and going like, wait, am I part of the problem? Because if you're tweeting at me telling me like not to be a bitch about political rants, you're already part of the problem. And you wouldn't say that shit to anybody in person, so don't say it to somebody in Twitter. I'm not saying that as a physical threat. That's not how I meant it, if that's how it sounded. I'm just saying that like, act how you would in person, or act how you would online, how you would in person. Because I'll tell you this, most of the kids that fucking sit here and try to tell me, oh, that's not racist, that's factual, that's not this, this is that, like, y'all motherfuckers would not say anything like that to anybody in person. I just don't think. Particularly me, because you would all be a bunch of fanboys. And so this rant, I hope that it makes some people mad. I hope that rather than telling me that it made you mad, you just stop supporting the show. Cause like, I don't give a fuck. I don't want to engage with you online. I don't want to get into a discourse with you. I don't want to explain shit to you. I just think you should wake the fuck up and realize that you're part of the problem. And that's it. That being said, yesterday was the inauguration. I'm fucking bummed, dude. This dude is not my president, and he didn't win the popular vote, and his fucking inauguration was empty because nobody likes him. And today, the Women's March is going on across the country, and millions upon millions of people showed up for that. And that just goes to show where our country is actually at. So if anything that I'm saying is pissing you off, like, that's because you're on the wrong side of the history. You're on the wrong side of history. That's all there is to it. And this show is always going to be like that. It's always going to be money over morals. It's always going to hold an extremely liberal and progressive view, because that's the way that my worldview has been shaped. And that, to me, is how the world should be progressive. The world should be liberal. Like, you should not tread on other people. You shouldn't oppress other people. You should just not be a fucking dickhead. And you should definitely not hit me up on Twitter trying to be a dickhead, because I'm not trying to hear that shit. Other stuff. Man, I just made my blood pressure high. Woo! I leave to Japan in about a week, which is going to be amazing. I'm actually a little bit scared. It's been snowing there a shit ton, and I'm going to Japan pretty much just to snowboard. I'll take in some like international tourism stuff, but I will mostly be there to like take advantage of their snowboarding. And they've been getting a ton of snow. Like, it pretty much hasn't stopped in a month. And you know, if I happen to die in an avalanche, just know that like I did it doing what I love. I don't think that's gonna happen. I'm gonna be with some very well informed people and who've lived there for a long time. But you never know. It's snowing a lot, and I'm a little sussed out with how much snow there is, and it doesn't look like it's gonna stop the whole time I'm there. But that should be amazing, and I'm really excited for that. That will of course lead to another little bit of a lull. You might not see another episode for a month, unfortunately, but I'm really happy today with the guest that we had, Deontay Hitchcock. I found him on Spotify just randomly. He popped up on a playlist, and I was like, what is this song? It's so good. And then I checked out the record. It's called Good. Deontay Hitchcock, Good. You guys can find it on SoundCloud. You can find it on Spotify, wherever. Super talented kid out of ATL, out of Atlanta. Young dude just getting his start. But he's also very adept at viral marketing. He lets me know that he's had a bunch of videos go viral. I saw one randomly showed up in my timeline of him rapping about Obama, and it's very heartfelt. But he's had that happen a few times. And so I think with how talented he is and his work ethic, and also just like how grounded he is, and how just what a great attitude, a humble attitude, and like easy to talk to guy he is, like, people are going to want to fuck with him. People are going to want to work with him. So I think you're going to be hearing some more from Deontay in the future. I'm really excited that we could be one of the first people to kind of like, you know, really, I don't know, use our platform to put him out there. So with that being said, I'm going to get off my political rant shit and get off like cussing at listeners. I didn't mean to like be angry at all of you. I'm only angry at a select certain few of you. I'm just gonna let this show go on, I guess. So, also I rebranded. Like, we're about to relaunch the website finally. I know I've been talking about that for fucking 2 years, but like, it's really actually almost done. I'm just like finishing some busy work on my end. But if you check out the YouTube channel, like, we rebranded. Shout out to my homie Dylan in Australia that I'm going to Japan with. He did some work and made a new logo for us and kind of a new typeface for the videos and stuff. And it looks pretty cool. I'm happy with it. I like it. I think when this episode pops up in your podcast feed, you'll see that like I changed the logo. So, yeah, shout out to that. New website coming 2017. Going to try to like do some cool shit, and we'll see what happens. That being said, I'm going to quit my bullshit. If you're listening for the first time, these rants aren't always so dark, but sometimes they are. Here's my interview with Deontay Hitchcock. You almost made me tear up the other day. I saw your video that was like the dedication to the president.
Oh, yeah.
It's very beautiful, man. It went viral on Twitter.
Appreciate it.
And it was crazy because I saw that just kind of like by accident in my timeline. And then I realized that you're the same dude that whose song I had been listening to on a playlist consistently.
For the Spotify joint you was talking about.
It's for the Spotify joint, the No Secret song, which you're going to do today.
Yep.
And it was just like all these worlds colliding because I was like, oh shit, like I already like this dude's music and now I like his like outlook on the world and his Twitter feed, you feel me?
Yeah.
So yeah, man, how did that feel when that was going viral?
I mean, that's not the first time.
Really?
We had another one last year. It was like around the end of August. We had a Black Lives Matter freestyle. Like World Star picked it up. Then Shade Room picked it up.
Really?
Then Toya, Lil Wayne's ex, picked it up. She put it on her page. It was a whole bunch of things. But and then another one, actually. You remember the So Gone Challenge?
Yeah.
That Chance did.
Yeah, yeah.
Did another one after that. Did like 37,000 retweets on Twitter.
Holy shit.
Yeah, bro. Like,
oh, so your Twitter freestyle game is
going
like
crazy.
Out like, of control.
We've been using it. Last year, we were supposed to put out Good, the project.
Yeah.
We were supposed to put it out. It came out on May 29th. We were supposed to put it out on March 10th. That's my birthday. I was down at my old school at Georgia Southern, and one of my partners called me, a dude named Dukes. He called me. He was asking me when we were planning on releasing.
Shout out, Dukes.
Yeah. I told him my birthday, and he just kept it all the way funky with me. He said, bro, if you drop that shit tomorrow on your birthday, who really gonna give a fuck about it?
Right.
Period. And at the time, we hadn't put out any of the freestyles. We hadn't been really putting out music. We were just finna drop it and then go from there.
Uh-huh.
We had no plan or nothing. Stopped the release, changed it, start putting out the Twitter freestyles. Literally that first week,
yeah.
Charlamagne hit me.
Shut the fuck up.
Wale hit me.
Wow.
Though I think those were the only two off the gate.
Yeah.
But then as we kept doing it, it just kept building up.
What was the first one? What was the first freestyle?
The first freestyle was to 2 Chainz, Watch Out a Little Bit.
Uh-huh.
And then the one that Wale hit me up about, you remember the Shy Glizzy and OT Genesis?
Yes.
Cut It?
Yeah,
that
you
song,
need to cut
he
it.
Yeah, one of that. And that's when Wale hit me up, because my homegirl tagged him in it, and then he DM'd me, and, bro, shit's crazy. Like,
that is crazy.
It's a whole different way to get it now. Versus then, like we was talking about earlier, how things were back in the old day where you may have had to rely on just the label or anything like
that.
Right,
right.
Because even now, I'm going through, I guess, the pressures of the labels coming to you now. But just actually just being out here for the last couple of days and constantly hearing this same message that everybody I run into keep the power in your own hands. It's just a weird limbo space right now.
Well, and it's the same thing that, I mean, really, even beyond keeping the power in your own hands, it's patience.
Yeah.
Really, what I was telling you a second ago was like, be patient. Like, you're on the right route, so like, wait for the right thing. And you already, it sounds like, inherently and intuitively kind of understand that because you were patient enough to wait to push the release back, which most people aren't like that.
But
you, a lot of times people go, oh, I have this finished product. I got to get it out now.
Let's put it out.
Right.
Can we curse on it?
Yeah, you can curse.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't give a fuck. but it's like being, like, having that product. And waiting for the right time to get it out will take you so much farther, and now you're seeing the fruits of that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, from Atlanta.
Yeah. Southside.
Southside Atlanta. What's Southside Atlanta like?
It's same place Waka Flocka from.
Oh.
Same place Trinidad James from.
Yeah.
2 Chainz.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you're familiar with Cap G, but he's from around that
area,
too.
I know Cap G. Yeah. I just smoked a blunt with your girl.
Yeah, that guy.
Actually, one of his lines is like, my girl and I always clown at it because he's like, call me David, I'm the one to blame. And we're like, oh, God. But anyway, shout out Cap G.
Big, yes. Same side. I mean,
what's in the water down there? Like, why is there so much good art coming out of Southside Atlanta?
When I tell you, I don't know what's in the water in the whole city. Because, like, right now, me... Some of my partners, even folk, like, we were talking about Earth Gang and Jid.
Yeah, Earth Gang and Jid, I heavily fuck with
crazy.
That.
Crazy. I got another partner named Ace, who's dropping a project on the 31st of this month. Another partner named Mikey. Bruh, the whole city on a beam right now, bruh.
Yeah.
And it feel good. Like, it feel real good. It really feel like, I ain't gonna say like some old Renaissance, like Golden Day type hip-hop, but it feels like the children of, like, he said something to me the other day, like, the children of the Outcast and the children
and the Goody
of the
Mob.
Stuff like that.
I've always said, like, Earth Gang really reminds me of, like, that Goody Mob feeling of just, like, it's just out there, but it's, like, it's so
it's
grounded. And,
and
that's what I really love about Atlanta is that it's, like, a microcosm of the rap world as a whole because there's not an Atlanta sound right now. There's, like, multiple subgenres in Atlanta.
Everything.
And I was talking to Jid a little bit about that on the show because Jid is, like, very bar-heavy.
Yeah.
And you're very bar heavy.
Me and Bro got a song.
Yeah, that's how I found your email, was through Jid's manager, because I was like, I seen you guys following each other on Twitter, and I was like, maybe Zeke knows this dude. And
shout out to Zeke.
Yeah, that's what he told me. Oh, we got to go. They just did a song together.
Yeah, and it's all crazy.
Well, I guess what was influencing you personally as a kid that made you so bar heavy?
As a kid, I don't even know, like, I don't know, had my life not gone the way it went, I don't know if I'd be rapping right now. Like, rapping isn't anything that I just picked up on my own.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle Marlon, shout out to him, when I was like 11 years old, he was managing another guy, my other partner, Noon.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just managing all his work, but then he wanted to form a group.
You said Noon?
Yeah, Noon. His name was Nasty Noon.
Okay.
Actually, this is just going to come out on this show. My name used to be Dirty D, and he was Nasty Noon.
Okay.
And we were the Tainted Clique. I was like 12. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he used to manage him, but then he wanted to put together a group.
Uh-huh.
So he brought me in. He had another kid that he just wanted to bring in. And I was like, fuck it, let's do it. But he used to write my raps.
Okay.
He wrote my raps for a good, I'd say, about 6 months on my Drake shit. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But then one day I came to him and just brought my own.
Uh-huh.
And ever since then, he didn't have to worry about me writing my own. And it just came like that.
And that's when you said, like, you were 12, 13?
12.
Wow. So you started writing your raps at 12.
Yep.
So you've already got a solid, like, 10-plus years of writing raps.
Man, I wouldn't even say 10-plus years, because I started at 12, but I think I stopped. The group kind of dismantled. I was a kid.
Yeah.
I wanted to do kid shit. I wasn't trying to be locked into the studio forever. I wanted to go skate and get a car.
Oh, you skate?
Yes, on really? Some roll bounce type. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. Like roller skate.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you meant skateboarding.
Nah,
I was like, no shit.
I don't do the skateboarding.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like Bow Wow on wheels.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. But, yeah, I wanted to do all that. So
yeah.
I was like, I ain't really feeling staying in the studio for 8 hours on my Saturday type shit.
Of course.
So the group kind of disbanded. Bro was still rapping. Noon, shout out to Noon. But I stopped. I actually picked up dancing, crazy enough. Like, bro, I be all that. Shout out to Soulja Boy, too, because if it wasn't for Soulja Boy, I wouldn't be dancing. Started
yeah.
with Superman.
Okay.
But I did that for a good 4 or 5 years, and I don't think I really picked rapping back up until I got back to college. Well, until I got to college.
Were you ever going viral with dances online?
Yeah.
Really?
Have you ever heard of the Whoop Rico, by chance?
What is it?
Whoop Rico. It came out, this was like 10 years ago.
I probably have.
It was a group called Animation, and
uh-huh.
we made the dance. Well, actually, take it back. Nunk, crap, damn, I never even thought about this. Nunk's brother,
yeah.
his older brother was a dude named Cheesy.
Uh-huh.
And they were, you know what I'm saying, it was a group called Southside Mafia back in the squad.
Uh-huh.
All right, and they beat this nigga named Rico's ass. Like,
okay.
Literally, and they used to make a dance from it after it happened called Whoop Rico. But that's where it came from.
Yeah.
But the group that I was in, dancing, we took it and we like added all the
yeah,
extra shit
it.
To it. Like
right.
it always used to be just one dip motion like this, and then they do the swings and stuff.
Oh,
we
now
add.
That you're doing it, I recognize it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Because yeah, Soulja Boy had a song with the Showstoppers
uh-huh.
when he came and took it from them.
Okay.
But yeah.
So you've been had like viral marketing
right.
like for a while now,
it's
whether
not
it was
hard
dancing.
In Atlanta, bro.
Yeah.
Atlanta is the hub for everything.
So, I want to figure that out, like sociologically, why. There's such a thriving artistry in
yeah.
Atlanta. Like, what was it that made your uncle go, hey, you know, Deontay, you're fucking talented. Like, let's get you in the studio as a 12-year-old. Like, what is it that, what's going on there?
I don't know why he chose me. I would think because I was the closest kid around. But music is something that he always did. Like, from the stories he used to tell me about everything. He wrote, he co-wrote, I Don't Want No Scrubs.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, like.
The TLC song?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, he tells me that story often. Like, he'll never let me forget that shit.
Really?
But yeah, so Brad had been doing music.
Uh-huh.
Like, he had been doing music, like, from the time that he grabbed me and said do music. So he was doing it since he was, like, 12.
Wow.
So that's always been in his heart. But
So was that, like, was that an Organized Noise song or no?
No.
They did Waterfalls.
Yeah, Waterfalls was them.
Okay.
I don't know if they did that too,
uh-huh.
but I know Waterfalls.
But was he around them back then? Or like was he tied in that old 90s Atlanta scene?
See, when he told me about it,
yeah.
I wasn't hip to any
right.
of yeah,
right.
so I was about to say I wasn't asking those type of questions.
Right.
But ever since then, he's still, of course, my uncle, he's related to me, but he had my little cousin and he had to back off the music scene.
Okay.
So we haven't really talked about music like that
right,
so much, but yeah,
right. That's crazy. What did your folks do?
My parents.
Yeah. What like when you were growing up? What were they? What were they? How were? What were they working?
My mama's always been a nurse.
Okay.
Always. My pops, when I was little, he was a police officer. I think he stopped that when I was around eight. Eight or so. I don't know what he did after that, right after that. But then my parents got a divorce when I was 10, if I'm not mistaken. It was 9 or 10. And I know a couple years into the divorce, he was driving trucks. I'm honestly still not sure what he does right now.
Not in contact?
No, we're in contact, but it is weird.
Really?
It is weird.
Well, why'd it get weird?
I didn't like my pops for a minute because of the divorce, of course.
Took mom's side.
I live with my mom. So, of course, just being with my mom more, I'm, of course, going to hear that side of the situation more. Now that I'm older and I get to kind of, I'd say I always can make my own choices and things, but when you get older, you get to kind of see everything. People will tell you the family secrets type shit.
You see perspectives.
Exactly.
Right.
So I don't know if, I still don't know if what happened happened. I'm not sure. I don't know what the truth is. There's always this side, and then the truth. But I know that being mad to him don't do me no good.
Totally. Do you got brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
How many?
I got one little brother. He's with my mom and dad. He was born right before the divorce. And then my dad went and had a little girl, too.
Nice.
So I got a little sister. We are like 8 years apart, though.
You and your brother close?
Yeah.
That's cool.
We still live together with moms.
It's so interesting. I mean, dude, people that listen to my show are probably tired of me beating a dead horse. But, like, every artist that I talk to, they always got weird relationships with their dad. Like, that's the that's, like, one of the driving forces to make music is, like, having dad issues. It's fucking, it's really crazy. I got them. Everybody got them. But shout out dads. You guys are trying. You're trying.
Now that I'm this age, I understand the dynamics of, I guess, like, relationships can get tricky sometimes. So I get it. I mean,
well, and even as you get older, you start to understand as a man how, how hard it is just because of how you're raised to, like, reach out and apologize to somebody or say, like, hey, man, you may look at it this way and it's probably my fault. Like, it's hard to do that even as a man. So then I look at it like, oh, my dad was probably, like, having that same trouble that I have.
And just dealing with that shit. It's like, it is what it is.
What were you like as a kid? What were you into? Roller skating and dancing.
I didn't pick up dance until I was like, that was what, ninth grade summer? So I was like, what 14,
13? Yeah.
But I used to draw. I love Dragon Ball Z. That was my shit.
Dragon Ball Z. So that is a generational thing that I have missed because that is so fucking
sleep.
Dragon Ball Z and, like, what is it, Naruto?
My little brother, Naruto.
Okay, see, like, I don't even know how to say it.
I ain't peeped Naruto like that.
Yeah.
Dragon Ball Z, every day, 5 o'clock, Toonami, Cartoon Network, come home, we on it.
That's, every time. That was the shit.
But yeah.
Really?
Naruto, I mean, not Naruto, Dragon Ball Z, shit, that was really...
Sports and shit?
Oh, yeah. Played football. Yeah. I played baseball for 1 year, but I didn't like baseball. That shit was boring. That shit's boring. It's boring to watch. Like, I can't even sit there and watch it. But I played football from the time when I was, like, 6 to about 13.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then why'd you stop that?
Bro, I stopped growing. That was it, bro.
Yeah.
I played quarterback and cornerback for most of my years.
But
once I got to the point, bro, I can't see over my linemen. I can't complete these passes no more. That's
right.
I'm about to go do this rap thing.
That harsh reality of genetics.
Bro, my mama used to mark the wall when I was growing.
Yeah.
Bro, we got a mark on the wall from like 2000, I want to say 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Ain't moved since, bro. Period. Like, I'm still the same. I might have shrunk.
That's so funny.
Dude, I'm
like the opposite. I was real serious about baseball in high school, but I was, like, too small to, like, really do anything with it. And then my freshman year of college, I grew 2 inches and gained 25 pounds. But I didn't even really get the good genetic lottery. My fucking dad's 6'7". I'm only 6 foot. You know what I mean? I didn't catch that wave. But it is what it is. How were you with school and stuff? Did you like school?
School was straight. I think when I lived with, that's one thing my dad, I will say, kept me on real heavy when we was in the same household.
Right.
When I got home, if bro was home at the time, bro, you got to sit down, go to the table, complete your stuff, and then you got to go read right after. Like, he made sure I did that every day.
Right.
Then when we moved out, I think everybody gets rebellious after their parents, like, split up.
Of course.
What I'm saying? You're going through shit. So I'm about to say my schedule was a little different, but I was still straight in school up until I think about college. That's when, well, actually, take it back. I was still straight in school in college until I decided that that's not where I wanted to be. My last year of college was horrible, dog. I wasn't going to class. I wasn't, because I had made up my mind, bro, I'm leaving. Like, I'm not going to be here. I dropped out. I literally got my email telling me that I was on track to graduate the next May. This was my junior year. I did 3 years. Yeah. I just said, fuck it.
Where was it at? Out,
Georgia Southern.
Georgia Southern.
Yeah.
What were you studying? Did you have like a major picked out?
First year, it was pre-med bio.
Really?
Yeah, bro.
Oh, so you're like good at school.
Bro,
I mean, you could tell listening to your raps that you're smart as fuck, but
appreciate it. You know,
some people don't like apply that in school because it's just an art thing. Like, you know,
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
I think it was real. It was real ingrained in me. Not even ingrained. It was more like threats. Uh-huh. If you don't do good in school, right, I'm fucking you up type shit. So
right. That
was always something I was straight at. I didn't really have to. I didn't really, I'd say, budge in the peer pressure. Like, people say if you hang around four millionaires, you'll be the fifth. Or if you hang around four bums, you'll be the fifth.
Right.
I might have hung around people who were failing, but I ain't never had to worry about that. Like, my whole dorm, we lived in this place called Watson Pods. It was literally me and three other people. We were the only people who won on academic probation by the end of the first semester.
Like, really?
We ain't have to worry about this shit.
Is everybody partying and shit or what?
Bro, college was crazy.
Really?
Bro, we stole a golf cart. Tell me about this. A lot of shit going on, bro. We used to have this game called Gecko. We used to have this shit called Match. Bro, niggas was just doing crazy shit in college. Like, Match, it was me, my partner Denard, my partner Gianni, and another of my partners, Akil. Literally, wherever we were on campus, if niggas said Match, like, bro, we would have to, like, borderline scrap with each other. If we called it out, bruh, it was so, bruh, college was fun as hell.
Yeah.
I got this other story. When I think I was in my sophomore year, it was homecoming. We had these rules.
Uh-huh.
It was like 10 rules each year. Uh-huh. And basically, if you broke this rule, it was 5 rules if you broke, you'd have to take a shot of vodka.
Uh-huh.
And then it was 5 rules if you broke, you'd have to take a shot of Everclear.
Ugh.
Bro, we was on Everclear heavy, bro. I'm pretty sure I done cut like 6 years off my
life. Where do you even find Everclear? Can they legally sell that?
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
The first time I saw it, I might be tripping because I might have been drunk off Everclear when I remember this, but I'm pretty sure that shit had a skull and crossbones on the bottle. Bro.
Right. I mean, it's just like it's like drinking rubbing alcohol.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But my freshman year is when I first got put onto it. But by sophomore year, I was buying it myself type shit.
Yeah.
But we had those rules, and it didn't matter where you were on campus type shit, you would have to pull up shot. But I had this. Matter of fact, the same Army book bag I got in there,
yeah,
it had this little pouch that you could put in, and it had the little, like the people using the actual Army type shit where you can drink out the back.
Oh, yeah, like a camel pack.
I would have my shit in there. And then I was working at this place called Landrum. It was like the cafeteria. I was the egg cooking shit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you came in there and you saw me and I had lick on me, you had to address me as Uncle 2 Chainz. If you called me Uncle 2 Chainz, I was pouring you up a shot right there. No questions asked.
Really?
So, bro, college is the most fun I think I've had in my life so far. But I think it's finna get more fun, so it's cool.
Yeah, I feel like, the more independence that you achieve, the more fun it can get. But at the same time, sometimes, as you're trying to achieve goals, it can become less fun too,
because
you run out of time
when you're
really working towards something.
Yeah.
But the work becomes fun.
I think it should be worth it though.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. It sounds like you guys are doing the Atlanta version of like the ice chat. Like, have you heard about getting iced?
Yeah, iced.
It's like some fucking. It's like some broed out shit of Southern California where you like. If you leave Molson Ice. Fucking Smirnoff Ice in like somebody's drawer or something, and if they open it and see it, then they have to like get down on a knee and drink it. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like drinking games of just different regions, you know?
Cap Morgan pose.
Yeah, exactly what it is. I'm curious, what's it like growing up with a police officer as a dad, though?
I mean, I played football most of the time, so I didn't really, and I was in school for most of the other time, so I didn't really see much. The most I think that stood out about Brett Parent, he was real strict on the sports side. Like, he was a coach too, but he was a coach on the team, so it'd be like, nigga, you come home, push ups.
Right.
If I get in trouble, you ever heard of duck walking?
Yes.
I would have to duck walk across the house, like back and forth if I got in trouble type shit.
Yeah.
That's what Brett was. I don't think I really saw the police inside.
Right.
Until, like, sometimes I go up to the job, you know what I'm saying, see folk, I'm his son, but I ain't see most of that.
What's the neighborhood like that you're growing up with, like, kind of suburban or like?
At first, when it was before my parents got married, we stayed in Southwest Atlanta, and that was, like, Greenbrier. We stayed in the apartments over there. I think that's the most rundown we've been so far.
Uh-huh.
I stayed there till we was about, I'd say, I think I was like 6 or 7.
But at that age, you don't even realize that. Yeah, so, you know what I mean?
Wasn't just that crazy.
Right.
And then we moved to Riverdale. That's South Side Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
That was, it's, bro, South Side really ain't as bad as somebody from the outside looking in might think. It's like, I would almost say the housing itself is suburbia, but the majority of the people now, it's like they were pushed out from other areas and brought in. And that's where kind of, I guess, like, the crime and things like that would come from. Other areas were gentrified and people were pushed out
right
into the South Side. That's actually how we ended up over there. So
that's that happens a lot in California, yeah, too. Like, a lot of people from neighborhoods in the city get pushed out to the desert, and yeah, then those areas become, you know, like
that shit's, my auntie lived in Brooklyn.
Right.
We went up to, I went up this year, but the time before that, I think it had been like 5 or 6 years. No, take it back, 4 or 5 years. My grandma passed the last time we went up there. So my great-grandma, actually, I'm tripping. But we went up there, and bro, Brooklyn looked like what people think Brooklyn looks like.
Right.
Bro, we went up there this year.
Right.
It had to be like 4 months ago. Bro, I'm talking about people outside on the corner with the goddamn frozen yogurts,
right,
and the,
right,
the Greek yogurts and shit, bro. It looked like a whole different place.
Right.
Like, for real, shit's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I just watched some fucking documentary about, like, gentrification in New York, and it was insane. Like, one of the best, like, most expensive high schools in the entire country, called the Avenues, is catacorner to a housing project that houses, like, I don't know, 40,000 people, or like some crazy number of amount of people. And it's like, that school doesn't let anybody from that project in there, you know? It's like, it's a very strange environment in New York right now.
Period.
But it seems like that's going to happen. It seems like as the cities become more liberal, that like the rural areas are getting brain drained and everybody's wanting to move to the city, thereby pushing city natives out of the city, you feel me? And
it's just displacing
everything.
Like, shit just looks weird. And we're from New York, you know?
There you go. And the reason, but that's the thing, is that the reason the cities have culture in the first place is because of the melting pot, and then everybody wants to go to the city because of the culture, and it pushes the culture out.
And it's a whole,
and then all
city
of a sudden it's just like, a big gentrified suburb.
Why is
suburb
the city not the same? Because, bro, everybody's gone.
That's what cracks me up about all the, like, kind of dog whistle racism of the GOP right now, or the Republican Party, is because they constantly talk about, they refer to black people as the inner city.
Yeah.
And it's like, have you been to the city lately? Because the inner city is getting less and less people of color as time goes on.
Stay
like,
woke.
You know, you feel me? Like, in Los Angeles, downtown Los Angeles, the quote-unquote inner city is, like, white as fuck right now. You know what I mean? Like, it's really getting – everybody's getting pushed out because nobody can afford it. So,
I can believe it.
Anyway, blah, blah, blah. I get on my political rants.
Nah, bro, you got to.
Yeah.
Shit's looking like a shit show out here right now.
It is looking like a shit show. How's it feeling in Atlanta? Is there, like, a lot of unrest with what's happening with the voting system and all that? Or just, like, what happened with the election, I guess?
I wish I was there to see what was going on, like, as the inauguration was going on, because I know in D.C., folks going crazy.
Oh,
like,
even today, actually,
riots in D.C. Like,
right now, we're missing a huge. There's like, I think almost 500,000 people downtown
here.
Yeah, because there's the women's march going on all across the country.
Yeah.
So, that's where my girl's at right now. That all my friends are there, but I wanted to get in the studio because we don't have that much time. So I might go there afterwards. But yeah, there's like more people are showing up for the protests today than even gave a fuck about the inauguration.
Yeah.
So,
man, bro, it's real. Like, when you think about Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and all, bro, that shit wasn't that long ago.
At all.
Like, maybe 40 years ago.
Right.
Bro, people are alive today who was around to see that shit, bro. And at this point,
I mean,
like,
fucking John Lewis. Like, yeah,
exactly,
oh my
bro.
God.
It's like, bro, we not our grandparents. Niggas ain't about to go back to that shit.
Right.
But it might, I think, was that what you I was talking about? And he was like, it actually might be a good thing that this shit going on, because, bro, I don't think
there was some complacency. Like, people get comfortable,
Bro. Real, I mean, we had a black president for the last 8 years. Shout out to that,
right?
But that shit changed,
right?
That shit changed,
right?
If anything, it made people more upset.
Yeah, the backlash of, like, oh man, the change really is coming, and then it's like, we've got to stop it, like, and then you know what I mean? White America backlashes and votes in this fucking tyrant.
It's crazy. I don't like saying, I guess, like, white America, but you can, because it is, I'd say, like, the majority, but, bruh, we got white friends and shit like that, so I don't, like,
right,
I guess categorizing them and that shit, too.
Totally, but, totally.
Yeah.
And I feel that it's like kind of that whole like not all white people, I hate hearing that shit too.
Right, like, not all of them.
There's no real good way to talk about it. Like, yeah. it's all you're always stepping on some line. So I've taken to just kind of like, I mean, look, sociology as a whole is built on categorizing people. You know what I'm saying? And built on not necessarily stereotypes, but percentages going like, look, this percentage of people, therefore you can categorize them as this. And so it's like, look,
that's where
the people that voted in Trump are white people, right, period. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's who voted them in. So I'm going to refer to them as white America and folks.
Older white cats who probably cast their last vote ever. Like,
you know what I'm saying?
Gonna die next year.
That, yo, that is really like a sore subject for me because, like, I get so mad at the old people that like are in their 80s and 90s and they're voting for these things that are going to affect the next 50 years, but they're only going to be here
2 years.
Right. I'm like, I know it's like a very controversial fucking opinion, but I really think there should be like an age limit cutoff for voting.
Nah, I feel.
There's a cutoff before you can vote. You can't vote till you're 18. Why can you vote when you're 94?
I feel you, bro. You about to be out this guy. Like,
sorry to get all political on that ass. Not. But in high school you quit football. And then what do you get into? You get in with the girls? You get like partying?
We got into the hoes, but I think it was more so because of the dancing shit. Like, we used to be going from school to school. Like, we supposed to be in school, but we at this other high school across town because they want to perform at their pet rally type shit.
Oh, and really? So you're getting like some local fame.
Bro, like our teachers like signing us out of classes.
Really?
Do your homework. Just come back before school over with, get your work type shit.
Really?
I honestly don't know how half of that shit worked, but it made it out of high school. Actually, take it back. I think I do. I think most of our teachers stopped giving a fuck. We lost our accreditation.
What does that mean?
Your school? Like, yeah, we lost the accreditation for our school.
So, like, your diploma wouldn't count or something?
Right.
Why?
But it did. I still don't understand. We lost it my 10th grade year, and that's when a lot of the people moved out of the county because they started going to, like, Fulton and goddamn Gwinnett and Henry County and all that, the neighboring counties.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's actually something I never thought about. I don't remember if we got it back at the very end, but shit was fucked up because that's when, after we lost our accreditation, our shit was already fucked up. We used to have gang fights every day my ninth grade year.
Right.
Like, they had to install the metal detectors and all that shit.
Are gangs in Atlanta similar to Los Angeles in that there are like two major factions
Let me take that back. Yeah. Let me take gangs back and say cliques.
Cliques, okay.
Yeah, I say cliques.
Right.
We had like the biggest one, I guess, around where I was, they call it Gray City.
Okay.
It was 220, 2-dub. Uh-huh. But right in the neighboring city was like Hit Squad, and that was College Prime in Riverdale.
Uh-huh.
They always used to go at it. So, of course, the neighborhood I was in, I was supposed to go to North Clayton,
uh-huh.
but my mom wanted me to go to Riverdale, so that's where I ended up going. But a lot of the kids used to cross them county lines.
Okay.
So it might have been a Hit Squad nigga at lunch with the 220 nigga, and then we got problems type shit.
Right.
We just got smoked.
Right.
So all of that shit happened. We lost our accreditation after that year. Then they put us in uniforms and all that.
No.
Shit. Yeah, bro, that shit sucked.
Wait, so when your high school loses accreditation, is it because of a lack of funding for the school, or what is it?
I'm not sure why we lost our accreditation.
And so when the parents find out, like, oh, this school doesn't have accreditation anymore, is there, like, a great flight out of there? Everybody leaves?
Yes.
But you stay?
Yes, we stayed because we couldn't afford to leave.
And so why do uniforms come into play?
I don't know.
Really?
I think it was, I'm not going to say a way to fuck with us and keep us in line because that shit probably did the exact opposite. Niggas hated uniforms.
Right.
I don't know the actual point where it came. I just know all of that shit came at the same time. It was like, all right, bro, I don't want to be here. Nobody wanted to be here. So a lot of the people left, but the people who couldn't afford to leave had to stay. I'm still wondering, the great mystery here is how I got accepted into college, because I don't remember any talk on the news of us regaining our accreditation.
Right.
So, I mean, but by the grace of God, we here.
Right. So, but you did graduate high school and your diploma apparently counts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so your college accepted your diploma.
Yeah.
How'd you choose Georgia Southern?
Shit. I actually wanted to go to UGA, but we didn't have the money for UGA, and I didn't have crazy grades, like to get super scholarships type shit. I applied for Georgia Southern, Valdosta, Georgia State, and I think it was one more, but I can't remember. I think I got into all four except I'm gonna tell you about it. I think I got into three except Georgia State. Georgia State denied me. So I went to Southern because one of my mama's partners, one of her old friends, went to Southern back in his heyday type shit. And he was telling me about it. He told me all the good things. We went and took the tour.
He said, man, bro, there's this game called Match. Bro, wait till you get
there. No. That was something we made. Dang, had nothing to do with nobody else. But, bro, I mean, it was cool.
Yeah.
Georgia Southern was great. The only, I'd say, the downfall or the cons of that shit, racism is prevalent as hell in Southern Georgia, nigga. Like,
really? How far is Southern Georgia from where you were living? Like, how far of a drive is that?
3 hours and 45 minutes.
And you lived on campus?
Yeah.
So 3 hours and 45 minutes. Yeah. And so you're in, like, the deep Southern Georgia, like, far away from Atlanta.
We ain't in, like, Cairo or nothing like that, but we deep enough. Uh-huh. Like, Cairo is, like, borderline Florida type shit, but we deep enough. Yeah.
And so is it, like, a culture shock where, like, are there a lot of black students on campus or...
All right, we got, I don't want to separate shit like that, but we had black GSU and we had regular GSU.
Well, just like, you know, there's black Twitter.
Yeah, there you go, that type of shit. But I'd say it was a culture shock. That was the first time I saw, like, white people in the goddamn mask that they were in. That, right. That was, it's different, but at the same time, it's not all bad because you get to learn. Other people don't know everything that you know. Other people don't live the same way you live. So it's kind of just like a readjusted life. Like, oh, shit. Different perspectives out here. Like,
and it's good to be in a melting pot, particularly educationally, because you learn how to code switch, kind of. And, like, you learn how to get along with different types of folks. Because if you're just around your own kind, like, whether it's white, black, Asian, whatever, like, that's all you know.
Shit,
you
the white boy put me on Everclear, man. It changed life. Shout out to them. That's lit. That shit's real.
So that's the first time you'd ever been around, like, large populations of white folks.
I say we had white folks scattered around Riverdale type shit, maybe one or two in the whole school, but we ain't never been.
They look like John B and shit though in your neighborhood, right? Oh, never mind.
Oh,
that's
that's
a nice joke.
They bashing our shit. All right, yeah, we're bad. Exactly, like that.
Right.
But we're talking like salmon pants with the Sperry's and the goddamn polo with the buttons on. Yeah, bro, it's just different.
Yeah, the Abercrombie kids.
Exactly.
So like, was it, you experienced some racism down there?
Yeah, I mean, Statesboro, Confederate flags fly high in Statesboro. It's real down there.
Oh, shit.
There was actually... The year before I left, one of the bars, it was either Rudy's or, what was the name of the other one? Either way, they changed the name.
Yeah.
And the new name was the Plantation Room.
Shut the fuck up.
I swear to God. Wow. You can look this shit up. You Google it.
Yeah.
It was the Plantation Room. They had to take that shit down. Nigga.
I think I remember. Did that make national news?
I think so.
I feel like I remember hearing about that kind of like scandalously.
Right. It's a lot of shit down there. But it's a lot of older white people down there.
Right.
And their perspective still is.
Right.
This is what it was. And
right.
This is when shit felt good. So, I mean, it's all perspective, bro.
Right. Totally. You know, folks like that, they grow up. You grow up that way, and then you go, oh, no, we're not racist. And it's like,
it's just how things work.
Right. You don't get to define racism.
That's fucked up.
That is fucked up. That's crazy. I have a question going back a little farther. On your way to college, did you have doubts about going? Like, were you already like kind of like leaning towards artistry at all? Like, since the dancing thing had already come off, I'm sure you already knew you could kind of rap. Like, did you ever go, I shouldn't go to college?
I never wanted to go to college.
Really?
Period. Like, remember when I told you my mom was a nurse? Well, still is a nurse.
Right.
Remember when I told you I did pre-med bio my first year?
She leaned you into that.
It wasn't that she leaned me into it. She leaned me into school.
Right.
And because I didn't want to go, I didn't have any clue of what the fuck I wanted to do down there. So I just did something. Hey, this going
to
make
this
mama
is what I'm
proud
supposed
type
to do.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm going to go be a doctor. I don't give a fuck about this shit.
Right.
But I ended up changing my major after my first year to, I think it was graphic design. But graphic design was the hardest time I've ever had in school. That shit's hard. If you do graphic design or anything associated with it, bro, shout out to you. Because, bro, that shit stressed me the fuck out.
Really?
Bro.
Why? The workload or just, like, the inspiration? Like, what was it?
It's very intricate-ass work, bro. All of it. It's intricate as hell. And I don't think... I have the attention span to write raps, of course, but, bro, that's a whole different beast.
Uh-huh.
Like, I couldn't do it.
Really?
I probably can if I actually sit down and I... have the love for it, but I didn't have the passion to.
Right.
Yeah. So,
but in turn, you probably kind of Mr. Miyagi'd yourself to where, like, now you appreciate it enough to where your album artwork is always going to be fucking dope. True. You know what I'm saying? Your album art is going to always be very graphically sound because you know what – you might not have the passion to be a great graphic designer, but you probably have enough passion to recognize what great graphic design is.
Shout out to my boy O2. He did the cover for Good.
Which is very graphically sound. Just pops out. The red background. Good job. What did you change? What happened after you realized, okay, graphic design is not
shit,
the one?
That shit was dead. I did business and marketing after that.
There's another thing that like was going to help your rap career.
Yeah, I was about to say, business and marketing definitely wasn't as bad as graphic design. It was a lot easier. It's just numbers. It can count. Yeah, we're good at that. Mm-hmm. The computer work was the hardest part, but that wasn't that hard. That's Excel spreadsheets and shit like that. Mm-hmm. But towards the end, that's, of course, when I stopped. This is like... business and marketing is like my last year and a half because I only did graphic design for one semester. Mm-hmm. Period. I was done with that. So business and marketing, my last year and a half, towards that middle of that last year, it was like, nah, fuck it. We good because I'm finna leave.
Right.
I'm gone. Like, I hadn't even told my mama. I hadn't told anybody. I was just like, you know what? Maybe if I goddamn flunk out, I won't have a choice and now I can't go back on what I said to myself type shit.
You were leaving for the music.
Yeah.
And so in college, is that when you started like kind of...
That's, all right, my boy G, my partner, he's actually like, you know, Young Thug, of course.
Yeah, of course.
He's Young Thug's cameraman right now.
Okay.
But that's my partner. I met him when I got to Southern. I bought this camera off my homegirl.
Yeah.
Because I was doing this little dance shit there, doing choreography and all that shit. So I bought this camera from my homegirl who was on the squad. It was like $500. And I used to shoot these videos in my room of just me rapping to other people's beats like I did Meek Mill, Ready or Not, Kendrick, Rigor Mortis, all that shit. But before then, I had asked around like who the fuck is the best videographer in Statesboro and shit. And everybody was pointing me to G. It was like Garfield. So I met up with bro in this thing we had called The Union.
Uh-huh.
And I was just asking, I was like, bro, what's your prices type shit? And he was like, bro, I do $250 a video minimum. Bro, I'm broke as hell in college. Now I'm eating hot Cheetos for weeks type shit.
Of course.
Like, bro, I'll holler at you around Christmas type thing. We did that shit. I kept doing the videos on the side after I bought the camera. And then, bro, started seeing the videos and people started coming to him about me. And that's when shit switched up. Because he had just came off of doing, like, behind-the-scenes shoots for Trinidad James and shit. And this was, like, when Trinidad James was Trinidad
all
James.
Gold everything. Yeah.
So, bro was like, nah, nigga, we ain't budging on the price. I'm out here type shit.
Right.
But then after I started doing that, he started coming to me, and we came together, and we did this thing called New Atlanta Tuesdays, where, bro, we was dropping a video once a week.
Really?
I was rapping to somebody else shit. Like, I did Drake 5 AM Toronto, French Montana, the song he had with the... Florence and the Machine sample. I can't remember the name of the song, but we did a whole bunch of them. We did like, at least for like 3 months, we were grabbing a video every week type shit.
Wow.
And that's when the initial traction started to pick up.
Where are you putting them at? YouTube?
Okay, yeah. We weren't putting the audio versions on SoundCloud. It was just YouTube.
That's smart though. YouTube is the second biggest search engine on the planet. Yeah.
Like, the shit was working.
Right.
Like, I'm talking about that's when things actually started. Because I had been rapping for a minute, like even when I was dancing, I wasn't out here doing shows type shit, but I still write occasionally, see if I still got it type shit. So I knew I could rap, but I always had it in the back of my mind, like, damn, why the fuck one nigga's fucking with me? I could rap, I could out-rap this nigga, I could rap, out-rap him. All this shit's kind of like in the back of your head, like, bro, I'm better than all these folks. Why ain't folks type shit?
Right.
But you have to put the work in to see those type of results.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's the first time I think I actually put some type of real work behind it besides just recording the music, and that's when we started seeing that this shit is actually possible.
And so did school start taking a back burner then?
No,
or you were able to balance both?
Yeah, not right off the top. I was balancing both. This was sophomore year when we started. So I was still good as far as school.
Yeah.
I hadn't made up in my head, like, bro, I'm out of here. So it was still good.
I mean, I love that, just on a personal note of like, finding the time to chase your passion while, like, not letting the other things that are, like, quote-unquote real life get pushed behind. You know what I'm saying? Because anybody that's trying to do anything, like, you can still live your life and maintain yeah. with your like job that you don't like, but you got to remember, you still have, that's 8 hours. You still have another fucking 16 to go home, or like however many, I don't know how many hours. I'm not good at math, but point being is that you have time when you go home before you go to bed to work on your fucking passion. You feel yeah. me? And that's what you did.
Brian ain't gonna cap to you. I ain't know what 8 hours of sleep was the whole time I was in school.
That's great.
Like, period, bro. At all. Me and right. bro used to be, we literally shoot the video on Monday type shit sometimes, go to the library, which was, we usually to get to the library, you got to catch the bus.
Yeah.
But the bus stopped running at like 6 or 7 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
So that's a wrap.
Uh-huh.
We shooting these videos at like 8, 9 o'clock after we done with everything.
Uh-huh.
So we'd have to either like bike to the library, which is at least 20 minutes on a bike.
Wow.
If you got to walk, that's a whole different monster.
Right.
But we'd bike there. Be at the library, he be editing it, and I'm sitting here telling him, like, yeah, that shot type shit,
yeah.
and we coming together to get that done, and then we putting the video out the next day type shit.
See, I love that. I hate when I hear people give excuses, because
yeah.
it's like, hey, if you got an excuse, you're not thinking hard
That's
enough, because, like, you guys are going to the library to edit the videos,
right.
you're not sitting at home, you like, I know everybody listening got a laptop.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like, if you want to get some shit done, figure out how to get done.
And
if you know what I'm saying? And if you don't got a laptop, go figure it out. Go to
yeah.
the fucking library. Like, yeah, I don't know. That's dope, man. That's really
Appreciate
dope.
It.
Yeah.
Shout out to G, man.
You guys keep in contact now?
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that became, he became like a the partner in getting it
yeah.
popping.
I'm about
yeah.
to say, he stayed after I left
yeah.
my junior year.
Yeah.
He graduated the next year. We went in together like 2011. He graduated the next year. And then when we came home, we actually shot a couple videos after we were home together. But then shit started spinning for him,
yeah.
and he made it. You know, Thug caught wind of him, so now he's been going on tour, bro, and everything. Like, he's been all around the world type shit.
So did you move back to Atlanta after that?
Yeah.
Is there like a rap scene or like where you see other local dudes around? Like you go to shows, like in LA,
man.
I don't know how it is now really, but I mean, yeah, there's like warehouse shows and shit where like
hey,
rappers see each other all the time.
There was one, I guess, that was like the central hub. It was Edgewood
uh-huh.
on Atlanta. But when Edgewood first popped,
yeah.
I was down in school. So I didn't really see. That was OG Macko
okay,
and
yeah,
Fat
yeah.
Man Key
yeah,
and 2-9.
Yeah.
All of them guys, they used to be on Edge.
Was Awful out
Faith,
there, too?
Yeah,
yeah,
Father and all them.
Yeah.
That's when I first heard about them, when people back home were telling me about, bro, you need to come to Edgewood type
right,
shit.
Right.
It was this place called the Department Store where everybody used to perform.
Okay.
So when I got back, I think I got back, Edgewood might have started popping my beginning of my sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like 2 years later, I'm coming back type shit. Macko already blew up.
Yeah.
Key already doing his thing type shit. So the scene, I think the scene was like Macko, Key, 2-9, Earth Gang,
right.
all them guys type shit. I didn't really have that relationship with any of them because I ain't know them because I wasn't here.
Right.
I wasn't bumping shoulders with everybody in the
right,
shows. I was
right.
down there. So when I got back, it was just go to, like, as soon as I got back, I was at my mom's crib, and then one of my partners, man, Joseph, he was up in Minnesota working with this company called Strong, and apparently, it's like this, well, not apparently, it's this contracting company, and they go in and do work with other companies pretty much,
uh-huh.
but this job was in Minnesota. He called me. I was broke. I'm talking about, like, dead broke.
Right.
So he called me, and they had a job up at this place called Polaris, where they make, like, snowmobiles.
Snow machines, baby. Hey, I'm from Alaska.
Yeah,
I know Polaris.
Yeah, you know about
hey,
it, yeah.
Polaris is my shit. Bro, no,
I spent like 5 months up in Minnesota making snowmobiles.
Hey,
dog.
It gets
I'm talking
cold.
About the tip of Minnesota, dog. Like,
yeah.
I can see Canada
Canadian.
Type of shit,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah.
So we was up there. That was to get my money up. But before I left, damn, all this shit weed there is crazy. Before I left, I had a roommate down in Southern England named Reggie.
Uh-huh.
Reggie, he called himself President. But his sister knew my producer today. The same dude that produced No Secrets.
Okay.
He hit me up.
Hey, what's the producer's name?
Brandon Phillips Taylor.
Brandon Phillips Taylor.
The
shout
goat.
Out. That beat is
the
a
goat.
Monster.
The goat. He was actually just, he just left this morning.
Yeah.
Crazy enough.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Reggie's sister used to rap with Brandon. He used to produce for her.
Uh-huh.
So Reggie told his sister about me, but then her weed man, who I know, but I can't remember to save my life. Like, B tell me all the time, Brett came through, and he was like, bro, he kept talking about you. Like, he kept telling us, we was trying to get this nigga to shut the fuck up type shit.
Hey, when the weed man is talking about you know you onto something.
Bruh. But he was fucking with China, and he told her about me, then she came back and told him type shit.
Uh-huh.
So he was like, fuck it, I'll just look him up. and he loved what he heard.
Yeah.
So then he sent me some beats before I even met him, but I was going off to Minnesota.
Right.
Then when I came back, he's got straight to work.
Okay.
Straight to work. It's been a rap ever since, bro.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's quite the story.
Rush is weird.
How was Minnesota?
Cold.
Than a motherfucker.
Bro, cold as shit. When we left, we were staying in this hotel at first. Then my stepdad came up. He was working for the same company. It was me, my stepdad, two of my cousins, and my partner Joe.
Uh-huh.
We was all up there doing it. And then he came up, and we went from the hotel. He found a trailer. So we staying in the trailer. The trailer was cheap as hell. It was like $300 a month.
Oh,
it's like
wow.
Five of us staying in there. We making bands. Like, we making like $1,200 a week type
yeah,
shit.
Wow.
So I mean, put that to the side. Go ahead and pay that. The hotel, I think, was like $2,000 a month. So it's different.
Right.
We putting that up. But the last week we were staying in the trailer, rather than go ahead and paying for a whole nother month of heat, we just said, fuck it, we're going to thug it out. Bro, that shit was horrible,
oh,
dog.
No.
We had to go cop the heated blankets. I'm sleeping in my work jackets. Bro. The clothes that we washing and shit, if we leave them in there overnight, bro, they
frozen.
All stuck together.
Yeah.
Bro, that shit was horrible.
Right.
Horrible.
So, yeah, you probably had on like long johns for like a month straight, pretty
like
much.
Negative 20 degrees
yeah.
when we left.
Oh, you're preaching the choir. I'm from North Pole, Alaska. The last week it's been 50 below up
there.
Yeah,
nah, bro. We
50 below.
We don't need none of that stress
yeah,
in our life.
Now you know why I moved to California.
Yeah, we good.
That's crazy. So you move back from Minnesota, get to work, and now things are starting to just steamroll, it seems like. Have your metrics been growing as of late? Like the Twitter following is at almost 20K right now. Has that been kind of increasing pretty steadily? Or did you see like a sudden spike at some point?
I didn't see a sudden spike, I don't think. Yeah. The biggest jump was after the So Gone challenge, though.
Really?
That shit went crazy.
Really?
Because like after Chance dropped his shit, I dropped mine like the next day.
That's
so it was
smart.
Like one of the first ones on there. And it was
smart.
Me and Shawty, because like at first I wasn't even going to do it.
Yeah.
But she wanted me to do it. And she's like in the video and everything, playing around with the camera. And bro, I'm just sitting on the side of the car, just going type shit.
I seen that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I seen that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
one. Wow. Man, that's crazy.
So watch for a minute type shit.
Right.
You know,
I didn't even realize. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Instagram really the monster. Like,
really?
Bro, Charlamagne posted the president video yesterday.
Yeah.
Like yesterday morning.
That one really is like, it's special.
But what's crazy is like the ones that don't be seeming like they my hardest ones, like bar wise, the ones that blow up because I guess it's attached to the moment.
Well, it's
going
the emotion
on.
Of
that's
it too.
People feel.
I mean, here's the thing. Like I saw it yesterday during the inauguration. And I'm like looking through Twitter and particularly like kind of scouring through Black Twitter and just seeing people's like, man, this one dude made this like super poignant thread of just about like, you know, thank you for showing me that that a black person could be this and be that and da da da. And I was like just watching, get emotional. And then I seen your video and I was like, oh man, it's like real. You know, that's the whole thing is that when you can tie into people's hope or despair or just like that emotion, that's the stuff that people react to, you know what I mean? It's not always about the skill or the technicality of it. It's about like, can you capture that raw emotion?
Can you feel something?
And it seems like that's something that you're tapping into, is like you're able to get into some emotion.
I'm a big I ain't gonna say too big, but
yeah,
I liked how Brent made me feel. I'm real adamant about how Pop made me feel type shit. So I would hope some of that shit like rubbed off into the music that we could put out.
There you go.
Even still, like all the opportunities coming from that type of shit. Like K Michelle, I talked to her yesterday.
Mm.
Might be when I get back, like might be in a session with her type shit.
That's
like,
dope, man.
Bro, it's crazy. It's crazy what you could do with the internet now.
Right. Like, well, and that's the thing. It's just that's how this happened, just through the internet.
Exactly.
Like, I can't stress enough. Like people always ask me, oh, how do you find the people that are going to be on your show? And sometimes it's just so serendipitous because like I came across No Secret less than a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's been out 7 months, I just stumbled upon it and went like, holy fuck. And then started following you on Twitter. The day after I followed you on Twitter, it was like, I'm going to be in LA. And I just tweeted. I said, oh, how long are you here? And then, here we are.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, the internet is a fantastic thing. And it's a great place for music lovers.
Click away.
Yeah, it's real talk. But hey, man, I think we did what we came to do. And I think that, like, I'm rooting for you.
Gotta ask you a question
yeah, go ahead.
Before we get out.
Yeah.
All right, I usually be playing this game with people.
Yeah.
I give you two choices.
Uh-huh.
And one of them got to die.
Oh,
like,
shit.
One of them, like, never exists. Like, you don't kill them. Whatever they did never happened. The effects of it, anything.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you two of them.
Okay.
Not the two people. I'm going to give you two.
Oh, the pressure is on.
All right. First, I'm going to give you Outkast and Pop.
Outkast and Pop?
Pac.
Oh, Pac. For me, I would choose Outkast like all day, every day.
You keeping Outkast?
I'm keeping Outkast.
So you killed Pac? Nothing Pac did ever happen.
This is so controversial, man, being that crazy. I live in LA,
people,
but like,
people gonna hear this.
I'm that's fine. People know I've talked about it. Like, I was always, I grew up in Alaska, which was very far removed from the East Coast, yeah. West Coast beef. But for my preferences, I was always like at that time, an East Coast rap fan.
Yeah.
And, Pac never really hit me that way. In hindsight, I can see, just the overall influence on everything, yeah. And like, I see what he stood for as a political figure and as a real revolutionary artist, and I get it, but I still listen to Outkast like at least, man, once a week.
Your car might be on bricks when you outside, bro. Like, that might be a rap.
Nobody knows where I live. But yeah, I'm going Outkast on that one. I'm gonna pick Outkast.
Okay. Yeah. Alright, this one is a little tricky. That was quick though, right?
Yeah.
Usually people
that was an easy choice for me.
That's crazy. Yeah. Like, usually people ask that, just be like, no.
Yeah.
No. Like, alright, Ronald Reagan. Jay-Z.
Wait, Ronald Reagan, Jay-Z?
Who
lives and who dies?
Who lives?
Oh, Jay-Z stays around, and Ronald Reagan, I wish he never existed.
Really?
Yeah, why? But I mean, without Ronald Reagan, there would be no Jay-Z,
ooh,
I suppose.
There you go.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go.
So really, you created the can God make a rock too big for him to pick up type
there
of situation.
You go.
I get it. Yeah.
I say Ronald Reagan, ain't no Ronald Reagan. Crack epidemic might not ever happen.
Right.
Gangsta rap doesn't take over.
Yeah.
You don't get half of LA artists. Now
that's
that I think
true.
About it,
yeah,
crazy.
I mean, yeah, half of
Snoop
rap music
don't exist. Yeah,
right. I mean, you know, I was just listening to fucking Dope Man on the radio yesterday. That song
shit
doesn't
exist
without
period.
Ronald Reagan.
Period.
Yeah,
but the community might be a little bit better, I think.
Oh yeah.
Nah, fuck that. We need music. Yeah.
Hey, but this was dope, man. Before we leave, tell the people where to find you online.
You can find me pretty much everywhere by the same handle. It's Deontay VH. That's DEANTEVH on Twitter, Snapchat. I be wilding on Snapchat. That's a whole different thing. That ain't really music related. But Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, YouTube on Deontay Hitchcock, like Alfred Hitchcock. Like Move Maker.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it.
Your name is good enough SEO to where if you just Google Deontay Hitchcock,
yeah,
everything
comes up.
So
yeah.
You're lucky with that one. So Deontay Hitchcock, it's DEANTE HITCHCOCK. Find him. Go listen to Good. It's on SoundCloud. It's on Spotify. It's on probably Apple
Music,
all that
title,
shit.
Title, all
yeah.
of that.
It's a great record. You really like are rapping your ass off, and I just totally fuck with the with so many different subgenres coming out of Atlanta right now. But like you guys, you and Jid and Earth Gang and like everybody that's like heavy barred out with the ATL kind of lingo,
mm-hmm.
is like you guys are doing something.
Appreciate it.
It's great. So yeah, thank you for coming on. I'm glad that we squeezed it in.
Appreciate you coming.
Most definitely.
Appreciate you letting us come. First time in LA.
You got some work done.
Yeah.
As you guys know, my name is Lee. Some of you might know me as Intuition. You can follow me on Twitter at It's Intuition. Follow my man,
ASAP.
Ben Shim on the boards, making the shit sound buttery at I Am Database, space with two S's. Follow us as a unit at Kinda Neat. YouTube.com/Kinda Neat, where you are going to see Deontay Hitchcock be our first performance of 2017.
Oh,
with
no
brand new logos, we got
no
hey,
pressure.
We've rebranded, so you're going to be the first video to come out under our rebrand with our new logo. Shout out to my fucking partner from Straya, Dylan J. Garft, for that redesign. What else? Patreon.com. If you are a weekly listener, you can go to patreon.com and support the podcast by pledging $1 per episode to keep the lights on in this motherfucker.
That way.
And other than that, I think we have done what we came to do. I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Waffles or pancake?
Waffles.
My man!
I just
fuck the goat.
I was just at Roscoe's 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
We
ain't even been yet.
Oh,
need
it's great.
To go. Yeah,
yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Go to the one on Pico and La Brea. That's my one. Anyway, that was Deontay. I'm Lee, and this was officially Kinda Neat.
Shit, like best friend.